Now, what are you going to do?
This is Jean McMillan interviewing Alice Gustafson at her home, Winfield, 210 Belgo Road, on Wednesday, June 29, 2010. Alice, what is your full name?
Alice Louise Lukes Gustafson.
And where were you born?
Chicago, Illinois.
At what year?
1919.
Month and day?
December 15th, 1919.
Alice, how do you spell your last name, your maiden name?
L-U-C-H-S, Lukes. It is a German background. During the war, my mother decided she was not going to have a German last name and changed it to L-U-K-E-S. Didn't ask anybody, didn't go to any official name change place, but that's what I was from then on.
Why did you and your mother move to Lime Rock?
Because the doctors told her she should either get out west to Arizona, where the climate was hot, or she should go up to the hills in the Berkshires, because the climate was better there than on Long Island.
And you didn't stay full year in Lime Rock, did you?
No, we stayed from April 15th to November 15th. That's when I went to school there. And from November 15th till April 15th, we were in Florida. Went to school down there.
After you left the Lime Rock school, where did you go to school?
Lakeville.
Do you remember the teachers that you had in
Miss Wilson. I only had one teacher there.
And she was?
Miss Wilson.
Grade 6?
Yes.
Okay. And then you went to the high school where?
Where the elementary original building is now.
The lower building?
Yeah, lower building, yeah.
Do you remember the teachers that you had in high school?
Seventh grade, Miss Holcomb. Eighth grade, Miss Allen. First year high, Miss Crofton. Second year, Mr. Fitz. Third year, Mr. Smith. Fourth year, Miss Gordon, who later became Mrs. Fitz.
And the principal at the high school was?
Loring.
Mr. Loring. Can you tell me a little bit about your friend Elizabeth Goodwin?
Elizabeth Goodwin lived on Dugway Road in Falls Village, Lime Rock. And she and her brother used to come to school. Their father used to bring them for the most part, unless the weather was bad, and then they used to stay home, because it was a long way to where the bus stopped. Bus stopped as in front of the Lime Rock School.
What was Elizabeth's brother's name?
Hezekiah Erastus Goodwin IV.
He was the fourth. And how are they connected with the Ensign family?
Yes. I believe they were cousins. She was a cousin. To tell you the truth, I don't exactly know, but my understanding is that the Ensigns were related to the Goodwins somehow or other. Maybe Mrs. Goodwin was an Ensign. But it could possibly have been, you could find that out from looking at the records in the Lime Rock Church.
How do you spell the Ensign name?
E-N-S-I-G-N, I guess.
And you told me something about a Memorial Day parade.
My mother decided that we should have a Memorial Day parade in Lima. And nobody had had one as far as she knew or anybody else knew. So she gathered the children from our end of the town. There were hardly any children down in the main street. And we started off from our house, and she got each of them a flag, and we marched down single file all the way to the cemetery. And this must have been 1927 or 1920. No, it would be 1928 or 29.
Did you have any spectators watching the children?
Not until we got down into town. And of course the parents around up in Hoppertown all said goodbye, but nobody marched down with us except my dog.
No floats, no band, just kids with flags.
That's right. And I remember we sang a few songs, but that got a little tiresome, so we just marched. We had a good time. Nobody dropped out, and I think the youngest must have been about 5.
Oh, my word.
Was probably Roddy McDonald, who was the youngest McDonald boy.
Do you remember anything about Dart Hunter's paper business?
Remember about Dart Hunter?
Well, tell us about Dart Hunter.
No, the paper business, as far as I know, Dart Hunter Sr. bought the Lime Rock Mill at a very reasonable price, and he brought over the Robertson family from England, and with them came Len Godding, who married
Emily.
What's her name?
Emily.
Emily? Anyway, and they worked in the mill making the paper the old handmade way, but it was a time when the money was not flowing freely, and he was not making money, he was losing money. So he closed the mill, and I guess sold it, I'm not sure.
Her name was Gladys Emily.
Gladys Emily. Gladys is the name she came by. Oh. I mean, everybody knew her by.
Do you know where Dart Hunter went from Lime Rock?
I sure do. He went to Boston, and he had an apartment on Beacon Street, and he had the MIT gave Dart, I don't think it was a wing, a floor of one of their buildings, and he had a very interesting and well-visited paper exhibition up there, handmade paper. And they were there for quite a few years. Dart Sr. and his wife sort of lived separately, and she was a Cornell. And they have one son, Cornell Hunter, and then they had Dart Hunter, two boys. And they're, want anything more on that? No.
Whatever.
No, they had a home in Chillicothe, Ohio, which we visited.
And then from the paper exhibition went from MIT to Wisconsin, and now it's down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, Georgia, that's right, yeah.
Now, when you were a younger woman, you worked in the area, and you worked at the Interlaken Inn. Do you have any memories of that?
Oh, sure. But that wasn't the only, I worked at, I tell you what I did, I worked at the Lakeville Journal the first winter of the war. And I can't remember whether I worked there first or at Interlaken first. And I sort of have a feeling maybe I worked at Interlaken after that. Because I got one of the couples that came to Interlaken, the man introduced me to somebody in New York, and I got a job. I took a dictaphone course of a week, and I got a job. But aside from that, let me see. Interlaken was owned by the Percys, husband and wife, and they closed up in the winter, but they were gung-ho in the summer. They had lots of people who came up there every year, and I remember I was just there the one summer, and I remember a woman writing and saying, I don't know why this sticks in my mind. She wrote and said, Dear Mrs. Percy, I and mother are wanting to come up here for the summer. And I thought, I and mother, whoever says I and mother. But anyway, and I couldn't wait till she came, and she was a perfectly nice woman. Why she put I and mother want to come? I never forgot it. But anyway, she, Mrs. Percy was wonderful. I was a very poor shorthand specialist. I was even worse as a typist. But she put up with me all summer, and I had a grand time. And the first time I ever met Dr. Goodernach's parents, he was a very well-known man. You know who he was? Mm. His parents came up. And his mother and father were just lovely people. I met so many nice people up there that I loved the job. And I think I got paid $25 a week. And then I had another job as secretary to Dr. Nielsen. And I used to go up on Britton Hill 3 mornings a week and do his letters for him. And he was the most patient man in the whole world.
Now, you told me how you got that job with Dr. Nielsen.
I got it through an ad in the paper. And I called that number, and I found out who it was. There was no name in the paper, and he said he'd be delighted to have me, and he gave me his name and address, and then he said something like, when could I start, when could I get? And I said, when I found out who it was, I said, I don't think I can come, or some, I don't remember exactly what I said, but anyway, I assured him that I couldn't possibly come. And after I hung up, my mother said, what did he say? And I said, well, he asked me to come. And she said, well, what did you say? And I said, well, I don't want to go up there. He's, you know, past president of Smith College. And she said, just go right back and tell him that your plans have changed, you can come. So my mother pushed me into that job. They were wonderful people, and his wife used to come every time I was there. She'd come in the middle of the morning with some lovely thing to drink and eat. It was lovely. And then one time she was away shopping, I guess, and I found Dr. Nielsen in the kitchen, and he was scrummaging around. He had cupboard doors open, and I sort of, I didn't ask him what he was doing, but I indicated I didn't know what he was doing. He said, oh, I'm having a friend for coffee. I said, well, let me help you. What can I do? And lo and behold, it was Felix Frankfurter, the Supreme Court justice, who was coming. So we all had coffee and whatever it was in the kitchen. Very, very interesting.
And you were very impressed.
Yes. Extremely so.
Oh, dear. When and where were you married?
Lime Rock Trinity Church, 1948, June 12th, 1:30. I was supposed to be married at 1 o'clock. My mother refused to get dressed she absolutely wasn't going to get dressed. She didn't want me to marry her, and she just dawdled and dawdled and dawdled. Finally, I said to her, you know, I'm going to go there. Got down there, and the church was full of people. We had the full church, absolutely. And the poor organist, whose name I do not remember, had evidently played everything she knew through about four times.
Did you have a bridal party? And a matron of honor, bridesmaid?
Matron of honor was Marjorie Richardson Sawalis, the daughter of the Barnum Richardson Enclave.
What was her last name?
Sawalis, Sawallis. And she was the daughter of Milo and Edith Richardson. Yeah. And?
Bridesmaids?
No, I didn't have any bridesmaids. And we had several groomsmen, but they weren't from around here.
What can you tell me about Lime Rock Church?
Lime Rock Church only operated in the summer. They had stopped that by the time we got married, but I mean when I was a child. And we had a succession of part-time ministers. One was Harold Sedgwick, whose family were in Sharon for I don't know how many years, but they were part of the Stockbridge Sedgwicks, and his father used to be the American minister in Rome. American minister for the Catholic, for the Episcopal Church, not the... And he had a brother, Charles, and I thought he was just too good to be true, but he was a movie actor, and I think he was only in two movies, and then they sort of bowed out. He wasn't a huge success. He was in the charge of the Light Brigade, and I just thought he was the be and end all, but he was not a great actor, and I must say, I don't think he was impassioned over me the way I was impassioned over him.
Unrequited love.
That's right, exactly, exactly.
Do you remember the CC camps that were here during the Depression?
Yes, they weren't right around here, though. The one I remember was up on top of Goshen Mountain, or whatever that mountain is called. On fours.
Yeah.
That's because we used to see them ride around in the trucks, you know. And if we went up that way, you could always tell if there was activity back there. But they really, I guess, well, there never was any camp around in this, right around in this area that I ever knew about.
Do you know what kind of work they did while they were in this camp? Were they clearing trails or forestry?
I think most of it was because, you know, I shouldn't say because I don't really know.
That's fine. Do you have anything that you would like to add to this interview?
Plenty. the school, did I tell you that I, well, when we went down there to school, drove in, you and I did.
Yes, we did.
And there's a sign, no school. I thought that was very clever.
And that had been a dress shop after the school closed.
Yeah.
Do you know when that school closed?
Well, it would had to close when the school here took
the students.
Elementary students because took their elementary students. But I can't, Mrs. Kipp. Who told you, Mrs. Kipp?
It's in the exhibition at the Academy building.
I'm just going to go right
You're there. Just going to have to go and check it
I
out.
I am. I wish you'd come with me.
I shall.
And I could point out to you the okay. different people, maybe. And maybe I'd get another idea.
All right. Thank you very much, Mrs. Gustafson, for your interview.
I don't think